Hello, idiots. You're listening to the Road to Grandeur podcast, and I don't have any idea why. You should probably be eating cookies and maybe going and stealing me something. This is Mrs. Crass. This book's read by the author, Brant Trebor. Okay, here's episode 29.
Episode 29. Pull. Sarah spent the first night in a trance. The second night she spent crying. She felt homesick. She had been on her own for quite a while, but much of that time she had been a servant. Now that she had freedom and independence, she had never felt so alone. Thaddeus Gumble had provided constancy. He had been miserable, but at least she had stability. Her life had been turned inside out. When she thought back on it, Thaddeus had actually been terrible from day one. Sarah missed her parents. Her father had been strict but fair. He educated her about virtue, hard work, and ethics. Kindness was not his strong suit, but her mother's kindness never wavered. Her half-dryad mother instructed her all about living in the woods and running a house. Her mother also taught her about the country of Suliad, as well as her own heritage. Sarah was half-human, one-quarter dryad, and one-quarter something her mother never told her about. Her childhood had been spent in a small cottage with her parents. She had some hazy memories of running away from different places before they settled on their tiny cottage in northern Suliad, but she had only been 3 at the time. Her father had made many trips to distant villages and always came home with books. Sarah read everything she could get her hands on. She had learned about magical creatures, but now realized how lacking her education had been. Wavari, vampires, pixies, and countless other species all had unique attributes and abilities she had never known of when she lived in her cottage. The one topic her father rarely spoke of was the war. He wanted to leave that part of his life behind and wanted her to be safe. Then, that tragic night when Zulf's troop came, all sense of safety was destroyed. She had experienced so much after fleeing her burned home. She had been chased and attacked. She had escaped a mind-stealing shade. She had started a business and had run a tournament. She had hired 2 men who knew all about the outside world. Yet, she felt empty inside. Now she had a fleet of pixies, 2 paladins, and 2 Nicarians as friends. Her life had new and interesting twists, challenges, and changes, but she felt a longing inside that had never been there before. Sarah steadied herself, but she felt so strange. She could not place it. She could sense her surroundings differently. The longing sensation that had always been a part of her now felt stronger than ever before. She was explaining it to Mullet and Kevin, but she did not understand it herself. Kevin thought the sensation was from having the seer open her mind and it would resolve with time. She looked at the note her father had given her. The word Hunter, spelled in gold letters, remained on the page. Time passed. After a week, the feeling had not dissipated. The pull remained as strong as when she had woke up after visiting the seer. The last time she had felt it this strongly was the night of the tournament. She remembered it that night, but she had been so busy she attributed it to being nervous. Kevin explained that, years ago, a seer had revealed Kevin's aura to be the rare blue color of the paladin. He had vomited the entire next day, but after that, he felt normal. For Sarah, the sensation of longing only solidified. Sometimes, during the day, the feeling became much stronger and hit her in waves. She tracked the sensation to find some sort of pattern, yet none existed.
"I don't want to be wet leaves on your fire, Sarah, but maybe you're just sick," said Kevin.
"Maybe," said Sarah, unconvinced.
"Could it be just coincidence that you felt off after the visit to the seer? I don't know much about medicine, but staying in this little shop for a week can't be good for anyone. Right, Mullet?" said Kevin.
Mullet looked over from the corner and grunted at Kevin's comments. Mullet was playing chess with Tally while John and Lucy watched. The set was gilded with beautiful pixie carvings, but that offered the tiny creature no advantage. Tally walked across the board with pieces as tall as she was. She tried to be sneaky and cheat while she played, and, for some reason, Mullet let her get away with it. Her cheating did not seem to matter, since Mullet won every match.
"Well, I don't think it's good for you at the very least. A chosen hasn't been seen in decades, so maybe just being a chosen makes you feel funny. But maybe not," said Kevin. "If you're feeling so lousy, maybe you should go visit that doc who cured Mullet's little pest over there."
"Hey!"
yelled Tally in protest. "That might not be a bad idea," said Sarah. Tally zipped over to Kevin.
"That doctor is amazing. He reconstructed my wings with astonishing skill. I really thought I would never fly again, but then he applied medicine on my wings and realigned them. At least, that is what Mullet said, which really did not create agony as I thought it might. And then he..."
"Tally," said Mullet.
"Sorry, Mullet,"
she said, and flew back over to the bear of a man.
"Well, why don't we finish up at the shop today and go this evening? I don't even think that clinic opens until after dark," said Kevin.
"Considering the doctor's a vampire, I suppose that makes sense," said John.
"Excuse me?" said Kevin.
"We actually met him a long time ago when we traveled with Sarah to a small town. He repaired the obese man who Sarah ate it," said Lucy.
Kevin looked at Mullet.
"Do you miss him being a vampire on your recent trip to heal your chattering little friend?"
Mullet did not respond.
"Well, don't get me wrong. The few vamps I've met have been charming and courteous until they make, you know, want to make a withdrawal."
"Wait, John, are you serious? He's the same one?" said Sarah.
"Yes, Tally took us to the clinic a few weeks ago, and both Lucy and I were surprised to encounter the same vampire doctor as in Heinous," said John.
"He's wonderful. Just because you humans believe non-humans are untrustworthy does not mean that you can condemn unjustifiably. He repaired my wings when I had lost hope. And pixies always have hope,"
said Tally.
"Now calm down, little miss. I just get a little nervous when I'm not at the top of the food chain, that's all," said Kevin.
"He's good. I checked him,"
said Mullet.
"Oh, you checked him? How could you check him and not realize he's a vampire? Wouldn't that be pretty obvious? I ain't the sharpest sword on the wall, but we know Sarah is something of a wanted commodity," said Kevin.
"He's good, Kevin,"
said Mullet again. Kevin looked at Mullet. He rarely said names. It was his way to emphasize a point.
"I guess you're sure, then. I suppose you and Blabberoni will come, too."
"Blabberoni? Who's Blabberoni? I know you are not pontificating about me, since if you are, I do not believe I would allow you to get away with it. In fact, I might just..."
"Tally,"
said Mullet. The pixie settled down on his shoulder, but stuck out her tongue at Kevin.
"Fine. We can all go see this wonderful doctor. Who am I to think going to a vampire doctor's office at night with the first chosen in 2 decades might be a bad idea," said Kevin.
Thanks for listening to Chapter 29, and tune in next Monday for another great chapter. See you then.